Hi, this is Charlene, your host for Soul Sciences, the place where your inner experience meets outer exploration, or your inner exploration meets outer experience. Thanks for joining today's program of Soul Sciences. Hello, listeners. I'm here today with Rebecca Whitehead Munn. That's M-U-N-N. And take note of that name and take note of her book. It's called The Gift of Goodbye, A Story of Agape Love. And this is a really important book because we all face grief at some time. And Rebecca has written about it with such a telling consistency and a sense of the truth and honesty of her journey. Welcome to the show, Rebecca. Delighted to have
you
here.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlene. I'm really honored to be on your show.
Thank you. Now, Rebecca, I've been curious about the word agape. Why did you subtitle your book, The Gift of Goodbye, with A Story of Agape Love?
That's a great question. I wrote the book really as a lasting gift to my mother. And when I was trying to describe her love, it was the closest word that I could come up with that fully embodied what she meant to me and the love that I felt.
Oh, that is so beautiful. I mean, I can make the distinction right away by why you might want that on the front cover to say this is not about the loss we experience when someone we've been romantically involved with leaves us. This is a different kind of love loss. But I don't know that I would have ever thought about, so perhaps you can help our listeners and help me understand how your mother's love is agape as opposed to whatever kind of love else there might be.
Sure, happy to. She was the kind of person that was the most selfless person I've ever interacted with. She made you feel as if you were the only person in her whole world in the moment you were interacting with her. And it was an unbelievable gift. You felt so special. And she just really had no ulterior motive. She really gave from her whole heart. She was a Stephen minister in her church. She volunteered even when she became sick with cancer. She just gave so selflessly. And when I was looking at different words to try and describe it, it was the closest that I could come to.
Isn't that a wonderful tribute, even right there in those words? And I know that the whole book is a testimony to the strength of your mother's impression on you and how you walk through those days with her. Do describe for our listeners, Rebecca, some of the writing process itself. We know it's very difficult to write. It's difficult to write about grief. How was that for you? How was that process?
Well, it was long and arduous, I will say. I kept a journal during the time as I was going through this loss. I found out that she had terminal cancer at the time that I was going through a divorce with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And we lived in different cities, different states. And so I kept a journal as a coping mechanism. And then I thought that it might be helpful for others to hear the story to A, validate what it feels like to go through that amount of loss in a 3-year period, as well as really help me heal. So that was my goal in starting my writing. My mother passed away 12 years ago. I started writing the book probably within the few months after she passed. And every time I would sit down to write and look at my journal, I would write for a little bit, and then I'd reach a wall of grief and just really had a hard time continuing. And so I would stop. And I would continue that process. I continued it for a few years and really just wanted to share it in a way that, A, like I said, helped other people, and B, helped me heal. And I decided, I guess probably 4 years ago, that if I created a blog and wrote the story publicly, that I would have readers that would hold me accountable to keep going, and that might help me. And so that was a whole new venture for me. I'd never had a blog. I really didn't know what I was doing. So I put it out there, and I know a little bit about keywords and search engine optimization through my work. And so I just used that and found hundreds of readers that I didn't even know from all over the world who would write comments as I would write a blog post, such as, wow, your writing is powerful. It really helps me validate where I am. Would you please keep writing? And so it kept me going. So I did this every other weekend when my children were with their father. It took me about 6 months, and I finished my story. And the fascinating part of the process that I would say is so valuable to your readers is, in those weekends when I would write a post, and, you know, we're not talking a lot of words, right, on the blog post, maybe a few hundred. Took me sometimes all day to get that out. And then sometimes I would spend the entire next day in deep grief and sadness and crying. And then I would find that I moved forward. And that through that process, I let it go, each layer kind of one step at a time. And then I thought I was done, and I thought I had a great book. So I reached out to a publishing house and asked for help with editing. And I learned I needed twice the amount of content that I had.
Oh. That's the very small O that the writer gets when they go, oh, I thought I had it, and now, oh, I need twice as much. Uh-oh.
Exactly. And so their charge to me was, go off and figure out where you can expand the content. And through, you know, at this point, I would say I had broken down most of the very difficult emotional walls, that it was much easier for me to then expand from the content that I had. And that took me 2 years. I'm a single mother of two children, work full time, so I just fit it in when I could fit it in and really held myself accountable, right? So before other people held me accountable, it gave me confidence, and so this time I held myself accountable. And then I sent that off, and the publishing house said, hey, I think you'd really benefit from a coaching relationship with one of our editors to really take this and kind of complete it. And so I did that a year ago, last spring, and that was a fabulous experience working with Annie Tucker. And she would read two chapters, and then we would spend 30 minutes on the phone every other week, and she would say, you just need to develop this character here, or add dialogue here, or develop this scene here, and let me ask her questions, and then I'd go off and write.
Amazing. And what was the name of the publishing house?
She Writes Press.
She Writes Press, and it was Annie Tucker who was doing your editing for you, or with you.
Yeah.
Helping you out. There's so many things that are going on in my brain right now about your particular path. The first is, I am so impressed by how individual this is, your path through grief, because there's so many people who want to tell us how we're supposed to grieve or what it's supposed to look like, or and they're well-intended and they're well-meaning, but many people are starting to come to is that we're all going to be as different as our thumbprints in our emotional expressions when it comes to the big stuff. Some of us are going to do it one way, some the other. Another point I wanted to make is that we have now increasing amounts of information from neuroscience about how healing writing is.
Mm.
And your process just absolutely is the poster child profile for how you get through a very difficult time of loss. It was not just, so to speak, and though you can never put it as just, but not one loss, but a second loss, huge losses, right at a time when you could not afford to give more than 20 minutes a day, I'm sure, to your own experience, because you got two little ones and a full-time job and you got to rebuild that life. And man, does that take power and courage. Congratulations on that alone, Rebecca. That's an amazing journey.
Oh, thank you.
You write about it so beautifully in your book, too, without any sense of self-pity or over-dramatization or no sense of pointing to yourself as the hero. Just, this is what had to happen, and then this happened, and this was, yeah, this is a bit tough, and I cried over here. And you sort of describe it in a way that doesn't ever sink into that sense of one as more, perhaps, than one should be. If you can see what I'm saying, when we shine the light on something like the loss of a parent and a divorce, on one hand, they are very universal experiences. And in that sense, we are like everyone else. But on another sense, nobody ever does it the same way that you have done it, for example. And the incredible inspiration that your mother supplied. Are you going to write another book?
I'm thinking about it. I will say that when I finished going through the editing process a year ago, I had become an observer of my story, which felt like the greatest gift I could give to myself of healing and then transformation in the process. And I have many more stories to share. Therefore, you know, I think I will.
Oh, that. And so these would be memoir as well?
Probably. I'm thinking so.
All right. And do you have a theme in mind for the memoir? This was definitely mother-daughter loss. Do you have another?
Not yet.
Oh,
not yet.
Fine. Just bringing the stories together till you see what theme emerges.
Exactly.
Excellent. And are you part of a writing group or writing circle or any kind of background in writing that prepared you for this?
I am not. I have written in my professional world, and I enjoyed that process, whether it was a white paper or I co-published a book about a line of work in healthcare, and it was a how-to kind of book, and I just really enjoyed the process. And so I would say I learned it through trial and error, and for me, it was a wonderful creative process that enabled me to really tap into my creative juices and just allow the story to flow. I did feel like my mother was writing some of the story through me along the way. I'd be honest about that. And that really gave it a lot of power and love, because I felt like we did it together.
That is incredible. That is an amazing experience, I'm sure, for you, and certainly even hearing it. But I would really like, with your permission, to read from page 161 of your book about the spiritual experience you had. May I?
Yeah.
Thank you. What happened next was one of the most amazing and expansive experiences of my life, yet it also expanded my thinking beyond my threshold of understanding and belief. It was as if I were being given the gift of being a vessel to help Mom visit where she was headed next, to reassure her of the peace she would feel and that she was worthy of receiving God, and to help her embrace self-love completely. Your mother, as you describe so beautifully and poignantly in the book, was so good at giving but did not feel and grew to understand that she herself did not feel worthy of accepting love and attention and other people's grace and the grace of a God. And your book goes on. The visual I saw next with my eyes closed was startling on the one hand and purely calming on the other. Somehow, Mom and I were all of a sudden standing on a beach, one of her favorite places to spend time. It felt similar to what I imagined the purest place on earth would be like, a pristine setting with white sand stretching as far as we could see. I felt more whole and calm than I had at any other time I could remember. I could feel the sand between my toes and the water lapping at our feet as I held Mom's hand. The sun was shining brightly and the sky was a vivid blue. Light beamed from Mom's eyes, expressing her joy about standing on the beach. As I looked at her, I wondered what beach we were standing on. I was focused intently on Mom's reaction, wondering if she knew where we were, seemingly by ourselves. All of a sudden, I looked around us and realized we were not alone. There were 50 or more people standing on the beach with us, clothed in white and brilliantly illuminated from the inside out, shining brightly as if they were candles dancing in the wind, except there were no candles around us. The light was so bright, almost blinding to the naked eye, that I was not able to discern many details. That is such an extraordinary experience as your mom passed through into the next life.
It was.
I'm taken aback a little because I have another friend named Rebecca who has also been on my program. Her name is Rebecca Ostel-Clausen. And she was struggling with grief about her brother's demise. Her brother had died early. And one day she too had a vision of him. He came back from the other side to her vision, but then there were all these other people. And I'm struck by that similarity between the two of you. Her book is called Changemaker. Have you had mystic experiences before?
I think that I may have, but I wasn't open to really knowing what it was. And so I probably just wrote it off as, yeah, I might be a little crazy. what am I thinking?
Yeah.
And I believe now that we all have this ability, and it all comes down to us being fully comfortable in our own skin and having faith in something beyond us and letting go of the fear.
That is so beautifully put, Rebecca Whitehead-Munn. That is so beautifully put. Feeling comfortable in our own skin, letting go of the fear. Yes. And having the actual experience that we have, not the one that we're allowed to have according to what other people have taught us, is reality. Yes, and a higher energy, a more divine energy, a source of inspiration that we so need to be in what is very often a dark experience in life. Everyone struggles. There is pain. And have you had experiences like this since?
I have, that I talk about in the book and the epilogue. One of the things my mother and I came up with was a symbol of how she would come back to me. I've seen many, many, many purple butterflies.
That is so beautiful. Such a beautiful story from such a beautiful soul, Rebecca. Thank you for sharing some of your time with us today. Where can people get your book? Is it out yet? Have you had your launch, or are you about to launch, or where are we in the process?
It will be launched July 18th. Mm-hmm. It is available on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, as well as an indie book site. And all three of those can be linked from my website, wmunnauthor.com.
Rebecca wmunnauthor.com, all one word, author, and then .com. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Will you come back and talk to us again as you work on your next book?
I would be delighted to. Thank you so much, Charlene.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, it's been a delight. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
That's it. That's all for today's program. Thanks for joining us here at Soul Sciences. And thanks to Kevin MacLeod for that lovely intro and extra music called Carefree. For more of my work, please go to www.soulsciences.net. And remember, take good care of each other.